Okay, reading from the Jiva-dharma, chapter 20, Pramaya, Abhideya Tatsa. Om Gyanatamurandasya Pranjana Shavakaya Chaksurumulatam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurudeva Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svayambhu Pukadamayam Tadati Sapadantikam Pancha Kalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Shindu Mayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Nama Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasade Gaur Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So, we're reading from chapter 20 of Jiva-dharma, and it's the story now, particularly of one person coming to Krishna consciousness named Vrajanath and his uncle Vijay Kumar. And they're meeting with Babaji Maharaj in Gojrum Dweep in Havguru, and they're inquiring about the philosophy of Krishna consciousness. Babaji Maharaj explains them the philosophy of Krishna consciousness in terms of something called Dashamula, that there are 10 root instructions to Krishna consciousness. I'm not sure if Bhaktivinoda Thakur wrote them for the novel or there was actually something that was Dashamula. But the first 8 describes Sambandhigyan, metaphysical knowledge about God, and the evidence, the pramana, the evidence, what evidence you use to affirm that what you're saying is true. So that's the first. And then 9 is abhideya tattva. What is the means of realizing the absolute truth? And then after he finishes this, he'll explain prayojana. Prayojana is the goal, the result of realizing the absolute truth, which is love, because we have a relationship with the absolute truth. So in our philosophy, when we realize God, we'll feel God, which means the energy between us in relationship to God, which is called prema, and that's the goal of life, to realize God and to feel God. So they're being educated. So now we started to ask, what are the practices? What is the abhideya? What are the means for realizing the absolute truth? And Babaji Maharaj, it's very interesting, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, in explaining the abhideya and prayojana, he actually just, in the dialogue between guru and disciple, just summarizes the whole Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu as a template for the dialogue. I realized this when I wrote the Waves of Devotion. It was one of the references I used as a kind of, it's basically a commentary in the form of a dialogue. So he first explains at the beginning of the 64 principles, the first 10 are the most basic. The basic niyams, the basic things of which we do. And the first 3 were to take shelter of a guru and to take initiation and instruction from a guru and to develop an intimate mood of service for the guru, then sadhpricha, to inquire about stuff. So 10 basic ones. And then, I don't think it's listed maybe the 10 most important ones, except for the first 3, but the basics. Now, the 10 basic things that we avoid are being described here. Um, And so the first one was the satsang jag. Yeah, the first thing to avoid is bad association, things you don't do, so you don't associate. And sangha means not that we don't have relationships, we don't have attachments, as far as practical. Because attachment creates a conduit between your heart and another person's heart. So we don't create, have those attachments. And that's basically how someone advances in spiritual life. You change your community. And as you change your community to the devotional community, then the attachments you have become very favorable for Krishna consciousness because they're attachments with people who are devotees and devotional. That's why the Kunja Leela is here. She's come to study in India, but living in the Bhakti Center. Now she has a community. And they're quality people who become her friends. So those friendships and that those community, it inculcates good qualities, and that's how you advance. If you want not to advance, then you maintain a community of people who don't share your values, because you'll inculcate their values. Yeah, I've been in this movement for so long. I mean, there's practically no one I have a relationship with that's not in this movement. Of course, I have my parents, my brothers, and things. Okay, so now that was the 11th, and then the 12th was because he had listed him. Now Vijay is asking specific questions to kind of elucidate it. So he says, what should we know about not accepting unqualified disciples, people as disciples? Because one of the items was you should not accept disciples, build temples, or study too many books. And basically the principle is, when you're in bhakti, you have to be careful in doing services that give you power. Followers give you power. You know, big temple could be your edifice of your own ego. You spend so much endeavor, I build a big temple, and and then it just feeds your ego because everyone says how great you are. You look what you've done. And these are specifically Indian samskaras. Otherwise, probably would say, you know, don't also become a rock star or something. And study too much books. You can study, you know, learn it. You become learned in the wrong way. So all these things. So it's qualification. It doesn't mean we shouldn't accept disciples. It doesn't mean we shouldn't build temples. It doesn't mean we shouldn't study books. It means that if you want to progress in bhakti, make sure everything is done for the purest motive. So he's going to explain what that means. He said it's a great fault to accept many disciples in order to gain wealth. Because you can gain followers, and followers give donations, and donations mean money, and money means power. If you develop that motive, which if you have that samskara in your heart and you're not aware of it, you could start compromising, you know, your dissemination of knowledge in terms of the things that people bring to you. Of course, we need facilities for service, but for other reasons. It's so easy, the material world. And to make disciples, one must only accept those, one must also accept those who do not have shraddha, which is an offense to accept unfaithful people as disciples. So you have to make sure that the people coming have faith in God, do they really want to surrender to God and follow the Shastra and follow you as a representative of the Shastra. Some people people could also, as the guru can accept for the wrong reason, the disciples can take the guru for the wrong reason. To get a name, you know, to be renowned in the community, whatever. Only those who have shraddha are qualified to be disciples, others are not. Vijay, what is the significance of giving up pretentious efforts in arranging festivals and so on? So there's another thing, don't build temples and things like that, but it also includes, because, you know, you can get money and you can feed the Vaishnavas, but what you're really doing is feeding your own ego if you're not careful. I am generous, I am charitable. So what does it mean? It says, briefly, one must perform Bhagavad Bhajan and maintain one's life at the same time. If one engages in extensive material activities, he becomes so attached to them that he cannot fix his mind on Bhajan. So you become attached to things, even in the name of devotion, which are attachments. Attachments meaning relationship to the ego, not relationship to service. And therefore, they fortify the false conception of life. And specifically, coming to spiritual life means a change in ego, that I'm not the controller and enjoyer, I am the servant of Krishna. So I have to be very, very careful to deal with things, even a devotional service, that can fortify the egotistic conception of life and become attached to them on that basis. Vijay, what about giving up studying, teaching, and interpreting various kinds of books? So Babaji, the Shastras are just like an ocean. It is good to study with discrimination books on the subject in which we require to take instruction, but we will not get full knowledge on any subject by reading fragments of numerous books. So I described yesterday, one Vaishnava scholar came to Vrindavan and he met my friend. My friend said, well, where are you going? He said, I'm going to Loy Bazaar to Rajavir, you know. And then the friend joked, he said, I'm not into bhakti, I'm into bhukti. B-O-O-K-T-I, bhukti. I'm into books. And what happens with scholarship, and this is a very important point, is it's also power. Knowing more than others, knowing verses, giving great classes, having so much information. There's warning. This also can doom one. And therefore, if one wants to be a scholar, one has the potential to be a scholar, he first has to be a devotee and has to be surrendered to Guru and Krishna. So the scholarship does not feed his dhyanic tendencies for power in terms of knowledge. Therefore, there's this famous verse, Yasya Deve Prabhatya Tata Deve Tata Guru. One who has implicit faith in the spiritual master, the Supreme Lord, the imports of the Vedas are revealed. I was speaking about this yesterday when you ladies were wandering around Vrindavan looking for Krishna. I explained this yesterday, that the essence of the scripture is to overcome ego. That's what Shastra is about. Overcome that conception that I am the enjoyer and controller, and your attachment to it. But it's such a knowledge that unless you have some practical experience of it, you won't see it. So unless you're surrendered to Guru and Krishna, you won't see that in the scriptures. Even though you study so many verses, you read so many things, you'll just become bewildered. And we see that. We see very often, in fact, that people sometimes, they know the biggest, most verses are the biggest fools. Because they're just doing it for ego. And some people who know the most verses are the best devotees too, but it can be that way. And we've had history of it, of people who appear to be knowledgeable, but really always miss the essential points of Krishna consciousness. which is surrender to Guru and Krishna, to be humble. They miss it. It's startling because they'll have such a flash of knowledge, but those points they don't understand, and they can't understand it because they don't practice them, and therefore they don't understand. They have no realization of it. There's certain things you have to learn, and preliminarily you have to have the practical realization of them to identify them. 15. What does it mean to give up miserly behavior? Babaji, you must collect suitable items for food and shelter during our sojourn in this life. There is difficulty if we fail to obtain these items, and if we obtain them, and then lose, and also if we obtain them, lose them again. Therefore, we should not be perturbed when such miseries occur. Instead, we should keep our remembrance of Bhagavan within our minds. I remember at one time when I was living for 20 years, I lived in the Gurukul building, and I wasn't in charge anymore, so I had to find a place to stay. And it was always like a hassle from where I'm going to stay here, find a place here, stay here. And then I was thinking, oh, I got to get an MDT apartment. I got to get an MDT apartment. But I had no money, you know. How can I get? And then it was occupying my mind. And then not too long, I just said, no. To live in Vrindavan is the greatest gift, even if you're living on the side of the road. Wherever you live is the greatest. I became detached. I live anywhere. And I just didn't, you know, put any energy into, like, having a place, finding. But if Krishna wants, that'll be my karma. Like right now, maybe it seems a little bit better because even though I'm not endeavoring, I'm staying in this beautiful apartment, new apartment, don't have my own place. But it could have been anywhere. So what it means is that consciousness is not good for bhakti, attachment to so many things, so many situations. Because they'll go wrong, you'll be disturbed, you can't do bhajan. You want to do bhajan, you want to do worship, you have to be detached, whatever Krishna gives you. I've seen many, many times that people build big houses, but they never live in Vrindavan. It just seems to work that more often than not, because it's just not the mood of Vrindavan. But a particular time, one great saint in Vrindavan, somehow or other, she told me, no, you should have your place. You know, you need a place for your bhajan. So at that time, I remember, it was a Govardhan Hill. Then I decided, okay, I want a place. Then 6 months later, one of my friends gave me a place to stay in Govardhan. So for service, one can do it. And then the same thing in Vrindavan. Every time I came, I forgot where I put my books, my clothes, my things, you know, because I lived here for so many months of the year. I'm not just visiting in a suitcase. But then I did make some endeavor in a detached way. And then Ananda Govardhan. She's so nice. You met her? From Russia? And she's such a nice person. She bought an apartment here for me. In the Russian building. You know what the Russian building is? The Bhakti Dham? If you're facing the Bhakti Dham and you look to the left and you see they broke a hole in the wall, there's a building there. Yeah, I have an apartment there, a studio apartment. It's small, simple. She's so smart, she picked the best room in the whole place. This is on the corner, so it has windows on both sides and it overlooks Radhatila, which is a holy place right next to there on the corner. But main thing is we have to be detached. We can't have too many demands. Because then if we have too many demands to control the environment, we'll always be in lamentation. Vijay, how can one be saved from lamentation, anger, etc.? Babaji, if one's consciousness is full of sorrow, fear, anger, greed, and madness, Sri Krishna's spurti manifestation will not appear. Krishna can't appear in the heart. You know, if all these things are based on the ego, are just constantly there. It's especially the ego. Oh, I was insulted. This, why that person, this, that. And that's what you think about. You'll walk around and you'll sit down and that'll be your whole chapa. And then Krishna won't manifest. As Madan Bihari Gopal said, that nice man, wasn't he nice, that spoke to us? Sweet man. Very simple words, but went through the heart. That when you do bhajan, you have to give yourself to Krishna. And if you don't give yourself to Krishna, you're not going to do bhajan. So if you're filled with all anxieties, etc., those who are listening to the Sangha, the Kunja Lila and Ati Sundari Radha from New York are here. They're going to take a 6-month course to study deity worship or something like that. What is it, 4 months or 6 months?
4 or 5 months.
4 or 5 months. They're so excited to come when you're young and actually get trained and spend time learning something that you, skills, valuable skills that you'll have for the rest of your life that is so in relation to Krishna. And also the opportunity to live in the holy Dham, which means just Krishna, 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 Gaura, 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 Gaura for 6 months. But somehow or other they made intelligent decisions. You know, you have to, it's not easy. Some of the arrangements have to be made, but that's where their priorities. If one's consciousness is full of sorrow, okay, it won't, it is natural to feel sorrow and illusion when one is separated from friends or when obstacles prevent us from fulfilling our desires. But it is not proper to remain under the sway of this sorrow and illusion. So, you know, we have attachments and disappointments and things, but there's a limit. There's a limit where you have to, you know, you can have your feelings, but at a particular time, if you're a devotee, you have to objectify, you have to step out of it and just look at things philosophically and not just be overwhelmed. One will certainly feel separation when separated from the sun. One must remove this sorrow through remembrance of Sri Hari. In this way, one should practice fixing the mind on Sri Bhagavan's lotus feet. It's nice. There's a limit. Vijay, you have said that one should not disrespect the Devatas. Does this mean that we should perform their puja? So this is also a principle. We shouldn't disrespect the Devatas. When I first came to India, you know, I saw like a temple of Lord Shiva or something like that. That was like the enemy, you know, because we were the Krishna Bhaktas. You know what I'm saying? It's more that consciousness could be there, you know, because we're Krishna Bhaktas and the supremacy of Krishna. And we must have, Babaji, undeviated bhakti towards Sri Krishna, who is the root of all devatas, who is the root devata of all the devas. One should not worship any other devatas, thinking them to be independent of Krishna. So the point is, they shouldn't be worshipped as independent of Krishna. At the same time, one should not be disrespectful to others who offer puja to these devas, devatas. So it's something that could come into one's mind. Because, you know, people are promoting different devatas as the highest, et cetera, a little competition there. We understand nothing is independent of Krishna. So we don't worship them to be equal to Krishna, nor do we worship them to be independent of Krishna. They're servants of Krishna. Or we don't look at them that way. And those who worship them, they should also be respected. One should respect the devatas, understanding them to be all servants of Sri Krishna. But one should always remember Krishna. Undeviating bhakti will not arise in the jiva's heart until it is free from material qualities. One whose consciousness is covered by the gunas, sattva, raja, and tama, will perform puja of the devata of the particular guna by which he is influenced, and he will have a particular fate, nishtha, according to his qualification. Therefore, one should be respectful towards the worshipable devatas of different persons. By the mercy of devatas, the consciousness of those worshippers will gradually become free from material quality. So generally speaking, one adopts a worship according to his mode of nature. In the Western world, you just get the mercy of Krishna, which is the highest thing. But you still see, you know, like in the early days in the hardcore scene, when the very heavy hardcore people came, who was their worshipful devata? In the Sringa days. This is a fierce lion that's ripping people's intestines out. And that was their mode. So they... Please explain about not giving anxiety to other living entities. Babaji, Sri Krishna is very quickly satisfied with one who maintains a compassionate mood towards all other jivas and does not give them any kind of anxiety to his body, mind, and words. Compassion is the main dharma of the Vaishnava. We have to look. Sometimes there's conflict, and Vaishnavas hate other Vaishnavas. And you get into petty things, and it's just, don't. Don't in any way give anxiety to anybody. The Vaishnava is a very special thing. Are you reading my Monday morning journals? Are you getting them? Did you get the last one? On criticism? I got a letter from Jayadvaita Swami. Thank you. He's such an editor. But that meant a lot. And then I got another appreciation from Sridhar Bhakti Fest, appreciating the real, you know, the thing. I got another letter of appreciation from the younger brother of my roommate, who's a devotee from college. He's now the top criminal lawyer in Saratoga Springs. He also told me that he'll try to follow it, but it's hard. So not giving anxiety, showing always compassion to others. Vijay, how does one abandon offenses in Seva Aparad and enchanting Sri Hari Nam? So that's the 19th item, is to avoid offenses, both to the deity and to Krishna and the holy name. That's what I spoke about. You should read that. Very interesting article. Are you getting it? The journals are sent to you? Okay, it's on your thing. Look at it. What? Okay, but it's important. Not for everyone. But it talked about you can advance in bhakti simply by avoiding offenses. Because bhakti is very simple. The only thing that hinders us in bhakti is the offenses we make. And criticism is the first one. Ninda. Sadhu ninda. Criticism is very bad. Because criticism is very painful to people. So you have to very, very carefully avoid that. And Babaji, one must be very carefully give up the seva aparads in deity worship, archana, and the nam aparad in general bhakti. There are 32 kinds of seva aparads, including entering the temple wearing shoes or sitting in a palanquin. I know you pick these out, but very common for people to ride in palanquins, but it's a sign of great honors that should not be shown before the deity. That's why we don't circumambulate anybody before the deity, because that's honoring someone else. before God. You have to be very careful about that. There are 32 kinds of seva aparads, including, okay, and there are 10 kinds of namaparads, including blasphemy, saints, and disrespecting Sri Guru. One must certainly abandon these two categories of aparads. Vijay, you have said that we should not tolerate hearing blasphemy of Bhagavan and his bhaktas. Does that mean that we should fight with the blasphemies? Bobby, those who blaspheme Sri Krishna, the Vaishnavas, are opposed to Sri Krishna and their association, should be given up in any way possible. They're very heavy to hear criticism. It's really bad of the Vaishnavas. Vijay, you mentioned that these 20 angas of bhakti are especially significant. What is their connection with the other angas? The remaining 44 angas are included within the 20 angas I've described. So the first 20 are like general ones. And the next 44 angas, which complete the 64, are included in them. They have been presented as different angas in order to explain them in detail. So they're angas of angas. They're limbs of limbs, so they're explained in detail. The 30 angas from item 21, accepting the symbols of Vaishnava, to item 50, including offering one's dearest possessions to Krishna, are included in the path of deity worship, archana. So 21, so he's going to list them now. Accepting the symbols of a Vaishnava means wearing a necklace of tulsi beads around the neck, applying tilak of the 12 parts of the body. 22, wearing the letters of Sri Krishna. Nam means writing the names Hare Krishna, the names Panchatattva on the main parts of the body with sandalwood pulp or chandan. Srimad Bhagavatam 11.6.46 recommends that we accept the deity's remnants, Nirmala. Tvayo Pabukta Sagadam Kanda Vasulakara Charchita Uchishta Bojina Dasat Tavamayam Jayamahi. Wearing the remnants of garlands, sandalwood paste, clothes, and jewelry that you have worn, and taking the remnants of your food, we servants will certainly be victorious over your Maya. 24. Dancing before the deity of Krishna. 25. Offering prostrated obeisance at Dandavat Pranam. 26. Standing up when one sees the Sri Vigraha. Avyutana. Following behind the deity in procession. Anuvaja. 28. Going into the temple of Krishna. 29. Panikkama means to circumvent the deity at least 3 times, keeping them on one's right side. Very archana means performing worship, puja of the deity, Sri Murti, with different articles. Paricharya means performing seva for Sri Krishna, just as for a king. Paricharya to seva pak, aranadi pariskriya, tatap, pakir naka chatra, vadita dhyā upasana. Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 1261. This paricharya is of 2 kinds. One is to clean the paraphernalia and perform worship. The other is to perform seva with a charma, to hold the umbrella, to play musical instruments, and so on. So this paricharya, those are like you worship as a king. And parishevana, it means the service of hearing. 32, singing. 33, congregational chanting of Sri Harinam. So singing is just so many songs. I think that's Gita. And this is Kirtan. Humbly expressing one's mind in words, the Gyati. and you pray to the God, expressing your insignificance before God. 35, chanting japa and mantras, which with akshmana, 3 times a day. 36, reciting shlokas, stavapat, that glorifies Sri Krishna. 37, accepting and respecting foodstuffs offered to Sri Krishna, Vaidya. 38, tasting with devotion the water that is bathed Sri Krishna's lotus feet. 39, relishing the fragrance of incense and garlands that have been offered to Sri Krishna. 40, taking darshan of Sri Murti. 41, touching Sri Murti. 42, seeing the performance of the Artik ceremony. 43, hearing the glories of Sri Krishna's Naam, Roop, Guna, Leela, and Katha. 44, experiencing Sri Krishna's mercy everywhere and in all circumstances. So that's one item. So many difficulties come, but always seeing Krishna's mercy is a form of devotion. Contemplating Sri Krishna's, okay, Naam, Roop, Guna, and Leela within the mind. 46, thoroughly meditating on Sri Krishna's Naam, Roop, Guna, Leela, and offering services in the mind, Manasi, Seva. These few angas are quite clear. 47, then they're going to explain. We'll do that the next time. Anybody have any questions? Okay, would anybody like to say hello?
Hare Krishna Brahmada, this is Shankar.
This is who? Who is it?
Brajaraj.
Hare Krishna Brajaraj, thank you. Yeah, I've been irregular on this, so it's going to take time to build up the audience. Anybody else like to say hello?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, this is Phil.
Gurangi Bhavana, Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Anybody else like to say hello? It will end for today. I will.